This is the Missing People Podcast, and I'm Steve Branum. Welcome to the second part of the conversation between my co-host, Kelly Jolkowski of Project Jason, and Tammy Novinsky, mother of missing Ashley Martinez. Their conversation continues.
Do you have some mother's intuition or feeling about where Ashley is now?
Yes, I do.
If you're comfortable sharing that, and if you're not, we'll certainly move on.
Well, I'm always going to have hope that she's alive. There's no doubt about that. I will never give up on that. But I fear that she's not, due to the fact that in the length of time she's been gone, I know my daughter too well, and for her not to have contacted someone, a friend, her brothers, someone, I just can't see it. She was never one to, she might get angry at somebody, but she's never one to hold a grudge and I know it's, in her mind, leaving, thinking this is an adventure, she would have had to have called somebody and told them, because that would have drove her nuts. I mean, she spent the majority of time, with a phone in her hand. She's a teenager.
typical teenager, that's for sure.
Yeah. For her not to have no contact in 2.5 years,
So going back to the first couple weeks, because, you talked about how you kept checking back with her friends, and some of them started to tell you some things that were helpful, and then you also started putting up posters in your city. What other sorts of things did you start to do in the search?
Well, I got online on the website. I used to get up every morning and put Ashley's. My thought was, it's kind of strange in a situation like this, when I discovered that she was out of the state. The whole United States became 10 times bigger than what it. I mean, it's huge, anyways. But when you're finding, it's like finding the needle in a haystack. It's just amazing. It really is.
So that probably seemed a bit overwhelming to think that she's out there somewhere and you have no idea where.
Oh, yeah. And I would try to get, my thought was, is to get her face out there as much as possible. I have started out putting her on over 45 websites is what she's listed on. My theory is trying to just get her as much as I can, anybody that can see her, see her face, just target all kinds of areas where throughout the United States.
So when you're talking about websites, you're talking about websites that feature missing children or missing persons, is that right?
Yes.
And that's how you and I came to know each other, because you probably sent me an email or gave us a phone call and asked if we would list Ashley.
Yes.
And I remember when I got to know you and we had some conversations that you seemed like probably out of all the parents that I talked to, one of the most persistent mothers in as far as spending nearly every day looking for new places to post her information. And in fact, she's even on a couple of websites that really are targeted towards missing people in their state, which is not Missouri. So that really speaks well of your efforts.
Yes, I tried to go as much as I could. But I've also discovered, like working with you, Kelly, that at first it was just getting her face on the websites, but it's grew into so much more. There's so much more to the nonprofit organizations than people realize. They're such good advocates. They've got such good ideas and such good support. It's amazing. You don't realize. But I've had more success and help from missing organizations like yours than I have from our local law enforcement.
Well, it's a good thing that we're able to be out here to help out. Was that a shock to you when you first started looking? Because I know it's a common thing that I hear from pretty much most every missing person's family that I speak to, that they had no idea how many missing people were out there.
Oh, very much. Very much. I never dreamed. And you never dream. You never experience this type of loss in your life until it happens to you, and it opens a whole new world that's been there. You just got so accustomed to your own, I guess, took advantage of it. You didn't realize, you know, how many there are. It's sad.
And also in the process of you being very persistent on the internet and going to various sources, whether they be nonprofits or just groups or individual people who claim to assist with families of the missing or missing children, it also seemed like you ran into an undesirable element. And can you talk about that? Because it serves as just a cautionary statement for other families of the missing to be aware of who are you dealing with when you're out there trying to find your missing child.
Well, I know that there was an original website that had offered me good support with going to display Ashley's, actually give her own website, very good advocate, so I thought. And I think one of the most frustrating things that happened is I was cautioned that if I placed her picture and photo on a couple of other websites, that she was going to remove my daughters. And that right there told me that, you know, are you willing to help or not? Because it shouldn't matter. I have never been approached by any of the other websites that limited to me to who, you know, where I could place Ashley's photo. When something like this happens, you're just trying to get your child or your missing person's photo out there. You know, you shouldn't be cautioned to where you put it. The more you get it out there, the more chance you have of getting her found.
But there was a place that her photo was that definitely was not desirable. Is that correct?
Yes, she was on a website that actually, it's kind of strange, but I used that website to find other. That led me to other missing organizations as far as links. I went off the links to find other organizations, but come to find out, I would say about a year later, that the person that was running that website was a sexual predator himself. And I knew it was kind of odd. It's kind of funny with everything going on. The things that are right in front of you, you don't really see because you're so focused on your missing child and finding them. But that particular website only had girls on there and only young girls, which was strange. That was the only website I'd encountered that targeted only a certain gender in a certain age group. And I didn't realize it at the time. And I think, like I said, you just get so focused trying to get your child's face out there. You never dreamed that somebody would take advantage of a situation like that, but there are a lot of people.
I'm sure that was quite a shock to find out really the true nature of that website, that it wasn't to help you.
Oh, very much. I pretty much demanded, you know, that her picture be removed off of there. It was quite frustrating and unbelievable that somebody would use, you know, something so heartbroken to a family, you know, and taking advantage of it. I had one website that I had encountered where, because Ashley was listed as a runaway, that if she was still missing in 5 years, they would allow her face to be on there. But since she's listed as a runaway, they only do missing and not runaways unless they're 5 years gone.
Was that actually an organization, like a nonprofit, or was it just a website or some kind of a internet forum? Do you remember?
That I'm not really I wanted to say it was a nonprofit organization. I was very shocked. And I pretty much told them that, you know, in 5 years from now, I probably won't need them because I'm hoping she will be home or found.
Did they tell you what was the thought process behind having to be missing for 5 years before they would lend assistance to you?
They just, they pretty much when she had emailed me back, she had just said that they don't consider runaways missing unless they're gone for 5 years, because more than likely they're found before then.
If someone talks to you about reasons for listing a person as a runaway, what does a runaway mean? Is Ashley a runaway? What kind of response do you have for them?
I always tell them that I feel in the beginning she was, in the aspect that she was looking at an adventure. I'm sure, you know, this isn't the first time that this man has persuaded a minor to leave the state, that I'm sure that, you know, he's got manipulating powers, especially with him being 32 and her only 15, that in the beginning, yes, I do believe she was, but now, no, and I haven't for a long time. I don't feel she's a runaway.
You would think, especially with the situation that she is bipolar, that they would take that into consideration and refer to her as endangered rather than a runaway, whether she went missing with him on her own free will or not.
The only thing they'll do is list her as an endangered runaway, but they still keep that label that has been very frustrating, and I've been trying to dispute it with the law enforcement from the beginning, but they don't seem to budge.
Well, and I know that you agree with me in that our policy is that we don't refer to anyone as a runaway, because so many times the law enforcement isn't really sure what happened. I mean, yes, there are times where they know they did leave willingly, but many times they don't know for sure. But that label can be harmful, is what we find in prejudice from the general public. And we strongly feel that any person who is missing, no matter where they were abducted, they left willingly, they left under unknown circumstances, they're a parental abduction, that they're away from their safe harbor. They're away from their loved ones, and they may not have the maturity, the abilities to discern who's good and who's bad, make proper decisions, and care for themselves. And so when they're out there in the world, they need to be found and they need to be brought home. And I know you definitely agree with that.
Oh, very much, very much. I think that if they would, you know, if the law enforcement would just look at, you know, that case is open, as the fact that anything can be possible. Especially, I think what bothers me more than anything is the discrepancy between the ages. It's not a teenage girl running away with a teenage girl. It's a 32-year-old man with a 15-year-old girl.
Isn't that against the law?
Not in the state of Missouri. At the age of, if you're 14 and under, then yes, it's against the law. If you're over 14, that is not against the law. And I am currently working with Ed Waldberger, our state representative, to get a law passed to change that.
How's that coming along?
Well, I had emailed him, actually it's been about 2 weeks ago, and he is still working on it. He claims it's not easy to get a law passed, but then he promised me he would not give up and we would do everything to get that passed.
And what do you want to see the law change so that it reads as what?
Well, I think it ought to at least be at the age, in my opinion, 18. I know in the state of Missouri, you can be tried as an adult at the age of 17. So if they would at least raise it to 17, I would prefer 18. But I think I could live with 17 better than 15 or 16. They're just so young.
So if Ashley had been 14, which would have been covered by the current law in Missouri, do you know what may have happened? How would that have affected the chain of events when she first went missing?
They would have still listed her as a runaway. the problem that we're having is that we can't seem to find any. We have been diligently trying to find out what happened to that car, because if we find that car, they can investigate it and maybe find her hair in it or some kind of evidence that she was with him.
Now, when you talk about the car, is this the car that was in his possession when he was found in Washington? Is that what you're speaking of?
No, actually, when he was in Washington, they found him without a car.
Okay.
He had already done something with the car, and we can't seem to find out what happened to the car.
Okay, so somewhere between St. Joe and Washington, something happened to the car, and no one's been able to find it.
Yes.
Do you know what efforts they've taken to try to locate the car? Because you're certainly right that that car could have clues.
I know the Highway Patrol at a period of time had put out a APB, I think they call it, where it went nationwide to see if that license plate would show up. To my knowledge, I think that's pretty much what they did, is just alerted. I know that they alerted in Nebraska the auto salvage yards and places like that.
Now, is this the one that's the gray 1995 Pontiac Bonneville with the Missouri license plate 377-MPV? Is that right?
MPY.
Okay, MPY. So that's license number 377-MPY. Okay.
Yes.
That way, if there's someone listening, that may be some pertinent information that we can get out there. So how is your life different today, Tammy, than it was 2.5 years ago?
You get up every day and you try to go on because you have to. It's just a missing element. Her room's still the way it is. I've still got her clothes in her dresser. It's like part of you is just you're in limbo. You know you got to go on every day, but you're just missing a huge element in your life. Her birthday just recently passed, and it's hard to believe, that she's 18. I didn't get to see her 16th birthday, her 17th. Now her 18th. Just missing so much.
Recently, you received what's referred to as an age progression photo, where they take the last photos of the individual and add aging to them and also take into effect the features and, how the person may look like either one or both of the biological parents. So recently, the National Center did do an age progression on Ashley. What was your thoughts and feelings upon looking at the age progression of Ashley?
When I first seen it, it takes your breath away. I think mainly because I will always look at her in my mind as when she left that day. And her last, grade picture, and I think I still have her stuck at the age of 15, that when I looked at that, I just couldn't picture her. It brings reality to how many years has gone by that they could possibly change, at all, their looks, anything about them.
And it is common for that person to be kind of frozen in your mind at the age when you last saw them. And to think that you're now in a position where you have to see her age on paper, I know that's a really hard thing.
Yes, it is. It was for me and from my family, and I think we were all just taken back. I mean, you don't realize the time. I mean, you do, but you don't until you see something like that.
It's kind of like an unfortunate and sad reality check. Would you agree?
Yes, it is.
Now that you go back and look at it again, do you feel a little bit differently? How do you feel that they did as far as the age progression itself? Do you feel like she could look like that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I had to, once I caught my breath and kind of got over the look on my face, in all reality, I can see it. I think they did actually a better job than I thought they would. I mean, you can still see all of her features, and it's just an older her. I think they did a wonderful job on it.
And I think they did, too.
I can visualize in my mind, you know, that she could look like that.
And, you know, of course, the reason to get an age progression when the person has been missing for a period of time is because, you know, as you said, you'll always have hope. We have hopes that she's out there somewhere, but we have to know who we're looking for today, not who we were looking for 2.5 years ago. And I think that they did a really good job. I've seen a lot of photos of Ashley. I've met you. And in fact, several times we've met each other, and I definitely see a lot of you in her, and she's very pretty.
This concludes part two of Kelly's conversation with Tammy Novinsky, mother of missing Ashley Martinez. You're listening to the Missing People Podcast, copyright 2007. All rights reserved and held jointly by Missing People Podcast and Project Jason. Original music by Ariana Kima. For more information on Project Jason or any of the missing people we have programs for, please go to www.missingpeoplepodcast.com. Thank you. For my co-host Kelly Jolkowski of Project Jason, this is Steve Branham with the Missing People Podcast.